There you go, Christopher.
No, about 7 minutes. A fifth share, 50 years in 7 minutes. God is good, amen. thank you, Lord. You know, God has been so good to me in my life, and I wouldn't be where I am today. I don't think I probably wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for the Lord and the way He took me out of my pit. And we all have a pit in our life. We all have some kind of a pit that we came from, and mine was deep, and some of yours is probably deeper. But the enemy likes us to hide our past and keep our past hidden and keep that stuff in the dark. Because then when the Lord brings us into the light, He can say, ah, but what about this and what about this? So my advice to you is, if you have a testimony, no matter how bad it is, share it, because the enemy can't keep a hold on you. Because the Lord likes to see what's in darkness brought out into the light. Once it's out in the light, the enemy can't touch you no more. But anyway, how many? 15 minutes. Okay. I was born in Kinsale, and to a wealthy family with two hotels, and one in Skibbereen. And I'm only joking. That's somebody else's testimony. look, I can't. I didn't expect to be up in front of a pulpit when I was 50 with a white collar, you know what I mean? But I was born in Kinsale, and I was born to a pretty poor family. My mother passed away when I was, she got cancer when I was 4, and she died when I was 5 years of age. It was kind of a tough, I was brought up the youngest of 11 in a hard family. And there was no such thing as love. We didn't really know what love was. When I was 11, my dad passed away. And he kind of taught me a lot about Jesus, because he had a tattoo of Jesus on his chest, full size. And he loved the Lord, but he didn't walk in His way, so to speak. But he did go to church and that, and he taught me things about the Lord that came in useful, let's say. That came in useful, but it was kind of more of a Catholic way than the way we believe today, you know. When he passed away when I was 11, and between the time my mother passed away and my father passed away, I was kind of surviving on my own, robbing houses. And the police would come up to the school, and they'd pull me out of the school and take me down to the station, when in front of all the other kids, I'd be pulled down into the station. And they'd say, Chris, we know it was you, because there was about 20,000 worth of jewellery and stuff in the house, and all that's missing is food from the fridge, do you know? By the time I was 11, I had 52 charges of robbery. And that's kind of how I survived. After that, when my father died, I started working and started kind of going straight. And I'd work in hotels. I'd finish school, I'd work in hotels, go home, up next morning, school, work in hotels. And that's the way I kind of survived. When my father was a heavy drinker, and you know, that was a lot to do with our kind of background that we had. We were a drinking family, and we had to live up to that. A drinking, fighting family, you know. When I was 7 minutes, I don't know. when I was 14 and a half, I met Sheila. And I fell in love with her straight away, because she had this little cute Chinese smile that when she laughed, her eyes laughed with her, you know what I mean? And I used to go downtown just to bump into her, you know what I mean, when she was down in Kinsale on holidays. But I told Sheila when we were about 15 years of age that I was going to marry her and have three children, three girls, I said. And I don't know, that must have been a prophecy from the Lord, because that came to pass. But when we were, we got engaged when we were 18 and a half, moved to London, 7.5 years in London. When I was working in London, every night it was, the lads would say, look, don't come to work tomorrow if you're not coming to the pub. And everything was revolved around the pub. So it was work, pub, home, work, pub, home. And that was it, you know what I mean? That's the kind of life. And you start to get the like to drink when you're living that way. And Sheila got pregnant in London, and we decided to move home. She lost the baby, actually, the first one. And we came back, and because she got pregnant again, we came back and we said, well, no, we're going to live in Dublin. We spent 7 years in Dublin. After 7 years in London, we came back. We spent 7 years in Dublin. After 7 years in Dublin, we decided to move back to Kinsale. 7 years in Kinsale. That's crazy stuff. The Lord is a 7 year thing. And back to Kinsale. And I started heavy on the drink in Kinsale. All my past started coming up with me and stuff that I'd been through. I'd go to the graveyard at night time just to give out to my parents about the life I've had, because it was hard to comprehend. You know, when you're in school and the guy with the dirty shirt and the hole in his shoes, that's me. That's who I was. The guy that you're told not to hang around with, you know. And that's the kind of life I had up then. But I started drinking when I went to Kinsale, and we had three kids at that stage. And I lost caring from, you know, the drink was my focus. That was my only focus. I'd work for drink. Give Sheila what little I could, but I'd work for drink. And I knew that was no kind of life, really, to be given a family. And even to think back on it now, it hurts, you know. That kind of hurt never goes away. That stuff stays with you. Even though the Lord eases it and he shows you good things, that stuff never goes away, because you can't replace that. That's irreplaceable. But when I started drinking in Kinsale, Sheila decided to leave. And she moved away up to Dublin. And she was up for only about a week or two, and it was because of my drinking. But she was only up for about a week or two, and all of a sudden, I remember I'm up in Dublin, I'm outside her door, and she says to me, what are you doing here? And I said, I don't know. I actually don't know how I got there. I remember coming out the door, looking at the car, and next thing I arrived in Dublin, it was like, I don't even remember the drive. I don't remember nothing. And crazy stuff like this was starting to happen. So we kind of got back together. I left Kinsale completely, put the house up for sale. I'm there one night. We're waiting about a year now for the house to sell. We were still renting the property in Tala. And I'm there one night, and I light a candle in front of a Sacred Heart picture. Because I've never given up my prayer life, because that's the way my father taught me. But I lit a candle, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came upon me. I started saying, dear Father, and I remember I was saying every word so clearly, so that Lord, this time you might listen to me if I say it clearly, you know what I mean? But what happened, I wasn't expecting. He heard me, all right. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, and here I am shaking in the middle of the floor. And you know, all the stuff in my life started flashing before me. The hurts, the pains, the hurt they done to other people, everything. And Sheila comes down the stairs and she walks into the room, and here I am shaking in the middle of the floor, and she thinks I'm gone loopy. Do you know what I mean? I think I'm gone loopy myself, actually. Do you know what I mean? And she starts backing out the door, afraid. And I said to her, it's okay, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, I never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. And the Holy Spirit said, ask her for forgiveness. And I said, Sheila, forgive me. Please forgive me. Here I was, forgive me. You know, forgive me for the hurt, the pain it caused. Everything. It just poured out of me. And she's, yeah, yeah, I forgive you. And she's trying to get out the door. But I went to bed that night, and I didn't think I was going to wake up. I thought, that's it. That's it. I'm dead tonight. I know I'm gone tonight. You know what I mean? And I said, Sheila, I don't think I'm going to wake up in the morning. And I said, just in case I don't, I love you. You know what I mean? And I'm there, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to wake up. This is it. But I wake up next morning, and I felt different. I could smell grass being cut fields away. I could smell the gasoline of the cars that was driving on the road a couple of hundred yards away. Everything, all my senses, complete inner cleansing of my whole body. And I just felt great. I never had a feeling like it in my life. And I jumped up singing, happy, went up to the shop, got a big fry and 10 smokes. And the cigarette nearly killed me because I was cleansing, but I didn't know. I didn't know what was after happening to me, but I was totally cleansed. And came back at the fry. That was the nicest fry I ever tasted, because all my taste buds were gone from the drinking, the smoking, the hard living. But when I tasted that fry that morning, it was like, you know, I knew God was after doing something in my life. But I was thinking, well, I go to the priest and just tell him, you know, and I didn't know what to do. And But I kind of kept it to myself. But the Lord was downloading stuff over the next few days. And he was telling us, look, you're going to Spain. I've never been to Spain in my life. I've never been on a holiday in my life. Never been anywhere. And Sheila, I said to Sheila, I said, Sheila, we're packing up. We're moving everything. We're going to Spain. And she said, no, I've been trying to get you to go to Spain for years on a holiday, and you won't even go over because you keep saying you have a redhead and you'll burn and all this, you know. And I said, well, no, we're going, I said, you know. So amazingly enough, within making that decision, within a week, my house sold. Within 3 weeks, we were in Spain with the whole family. We spent 10 years in Spain. We overstayed by 3 years, I think, because things started going bad the last 3 years, so it was probably meant to be a 7. But when we went there, there was this house that my car stopped outside, and it wouldn't start. And then I got it started, but we noticed the house was for sale. Another time I got lost, and I ended up back at that house again. 3 times we stopped outside that house, so we said we'll have a look at it. So we ended up buying the house, but it turns out that the person that was living next door to that house was a Christian lady. And she was praying for the Lord with someone that she could minister to, that she could tell about the Lord. And we needed that because we still didn't know what was after happening to me. Anyway, she led Sheila to the Lord. And Sheila was so excited and sharing with me and about it. And then I had a chat with him myself, and they shared the Lord with me, and we just ate the Bible then, the two of us. And we started going to church over there, joined the choir, done everything. It's too much to go into. It's amazing how we've seen the Lord work in our lives. Then after 10 years, we came back here. This is how we ended up in Liberty here. We heard a CD from Noel preaching on, forget what it was now, don't lose your potential, wasn't it? Don't lose the potential that the Lord has put inside you. And I never forgot really that preaching, because I found out that there was something in me, and the Lord had instilled something in me from birth. And it was the potential to do what he wanted me to do and not live my own life. And it was discovering that when I went to Belarus 6 times and Africa for the first time, that in Africa, the Lord said, you're going back to Africa. And, you know, when the first time I came back, and he said, you're going back to Africa. And I didn't know what it was all about, but Sheila was going through cancer at the time. The first time we went over, and she wouldn't tell me. But when we came back, the Lord said like that we were going back to Africa. And I said to Sheila, we're going back to Africa. And then she told me she had cancer. And I said, look, we're still going back to Africa, you know what I mean? Because the Lord said it, we knew it. And since then, really, he's brought us on an amazing journey. I'd love to tell you all about Africa, but I got to live to Louise Bridge. You know, I don't know what the Lord is going to do with my life, but it's his. He can have it. He can have it. Because I made a mess of it, to be honest with you. But thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're all very welcome. Chris, thanks for sharing your heart. Thanks for sharing your story with us. You know, not easy to get up and share, but you know, God is faithful, Chris. He's kept you from the age of 4. You know, he kept you, you know, and he is the great I am. And I just want to bless you. Chris is our maintenance guy here in the church, and he does a lot of stuff here. And we just want to honor you this morning, Chris. You're a great man of God. Amen. Amen. And just off the back of that, his wife, the little chink, is that what you called her? The little Chinese lady with the smiley eyes. We have Sheila in Wow on Tuesday morning, ladies. And you know what? You're going to hear the other side of the story. So come along and be blessed on Tuesday morning in Wow. Well, it's great to have everybody here this morning. And we're kicking off our team, which is, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Go on, Char, sing it there. That's all I know. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We're heading into the Christmas season, and you know, it was a joy. We were here, there were some of us here yesterday, and we were decorating the place, and as you can see, there's nothing but lights. I love lights. I love the brightness of lights. It just does something. Lights just light up a room, and I have them over the TV and all downstairs. Phil Swan will kill me for health and safety, but sure, look, God is here. Amen. So, Father, we just come this morning, Lord. And, Father, we honor you, Lord, for who you are, Father. You are the great I am. You are the great I am. And, Father, we just ask, Father, that your word, Father, would be released this morning into your people. Father, that deposits, that nuggets, Father God, would just be dropped into people's spirits here this morning. And I would even be so bold to ask, Lord, that people don't leave here the same today. That change comes and transformation comes. So yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a season that we enter in, that we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. And you know, I realized as I was putting this word together, there would be no cross without Christmas. And there would be no Christmas without Jesus. And you've got to let that sink into your spirit. There would be no cross without Christmas. And there would be no Christmas without Jesus. You see, his coming to the earth was announced only to a selected few people. And the Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph received the news that the Messiah was soon to be born through Mary. Angels announced the birth of Jesus to some shepherds. And somehow, some men from the east, known as the wise men, knew someone special had been born. And you know, tradition would tell us that there was 3 wise men, and we assume that there was 3 wise men because of the 3 gifts that they brought. But what would have happened if God had have picked 3 wise women instead of 3 wise men? Well, the 3 wise women would have probably asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought nappies, wipes, and baby milk. And they're just some of the gifts that us women would have brought. Isn't that right, ladies? And that would just sum us up in a nutshell. But you know what? God picked wise men. These were wise men from a different nation. But you know, you got to think, what really makes a wise man or a wise woman? Is it their education? Is it their maturity? Is it their experience in life? As the old saying goes, the older you get, the wiser you get. Would we all agree with that? I believe a wise person is a person that initiates stuff. They're a person that they don't sit back. They actually get up and they take action. And when they take action, they get results. You see, the wise men in this Christmas story, they took action. These wise men were in search of the Savior. They went uphill. They climbed mountains. They went through deserts. They came across a lot of stuff on their search to find the Savior. And we're going to take a look at Matthew and we're going to discover what happened. And I think it's in Matthew 2, and I think we have it on the screen. There, it's easier. Okay. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler. Out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is still looking for wise men and wise women. And you know what? When I was putting this together, I began to think about these wise men. You know, as I said, tradition would say there was three wise men, but we don't actually know how many wise men there was. But you know, these men, they were in search of the Savior. They wanted to find the Savior. They were motivated to get up and to take action. These were men that were stargazers. They were astrologers, and they noticed an unusual star that was in the sky that night. They were men who observed the night skies. They would record the movement of the stars and the planets. And this was not just an ordinary twinkle, twinkle, little star moment. It wasn't a twinkle, twinkle, little star, how are you? It wasn't that kind of a light that was in the sky. You see, the word tells us it was an extraordinary light. It was an extraordinary light. It was a light that was such a beacon that the night that the angels came to the shepherds in the field and told of the birth of the Messiah, the light was so glorious, it surrounded the angels of hosts. And I believe that this is the light that these men saw. I believe they saw this light from their own country. It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God that shone all around that field. It was the glory of God that just invaded earth. It came from heaven, but it invaded earth. And these men witnessed this light. They knew that something special had hit earth. They knew something had taken place on the earth. And in their spirit, they wanted to get up and they wanted to find what had actually taken place. And they went out in search to find out. And they arrive in Jerusalem. And when they come to Jerusalem, they caused a great stir. That's what the Bible says. They caused such a stir that I believe that chaos and mayhem broke out in Jerusalem. You see, I don't believe it was just three. I believe that these men came with an entourage, that they came with many. And because there were so many of them that came to Jerusalem, the people in the town began to say, what's going on? What are these actually doing here in our city? You see, these men, when they arrived, they caused such a stir. And when they arrived, they asked, where is he? They asked the man on the street. The scripture tells us, where is he? Where is the one that has been born to the King of the Jews? Where is he? And you know, these men, they were so hungry to find out. There was such an urgency in their spirit that they wanted to find the Messiah. And next of all, they're in the courts of Herod, King Herod. They present themselves before the king. You know, this king at that time, he was ruthless. He was so ruthless that he would even kill members of his own household. Anybody that got in his way, he would kill them. He was a tyrant. He wasn't a nice king. He was so ruthless in his dictatorship. But the wise men, they're standing before this tyrant of a king. And they ask the question, where is he? They had a loaded question. Where is he? Where is the one born King of the Jews? You know, as I said, these men, there was such an urgency in their spirit when they arrived in Jerusalem. They knew from prophecy that the Messiah was the one to come to set the people free. You see, the word tells us, it tells us in Isaiah. And these men had heard about the prophecies from the Old Testament because they were passed down from generation to generation. And because they knew something had happened, because they knew something had taken place that night, when they seen that light, when they seen the glory of the God, the glory of God all around, these wise men, they wanted their moment. They wanted to see him. They wanted to see the Messiah face to face. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They wanted to be in the glory of God. They wanted to be in that atmosphere of God. And what I love about this story is that these men actually admit that they don't know where to find him. And sometimes we can be like that as people. Sometimes we don't know where to find him. And maybe you've asked that question, where is he? Maybe you've asked it of your own life. Where is God? Is God not hearing me? Is God not hearing my cries? Maybe you've asked the question. Lord, will you help me? I'll do anything, Lord, for peace in my life. You see, these men, they followed the star. They followed the light. And it was the light that led them to Jesus. And you know, God may use a testimony. He may use a story. We've heard Chris's story. We've heard how God kept him, how God went after him, and how he went after God. God might use a testimony, a story, to draw you closer to him this season. He may use a special song that we sang this morning. Or God may even allow some trouble to come into your life that will lead you to seek him more. Wise men and women still approach him. And God is still looking for wise men and women to search him and to take the next step and to follow the wise path like these wise men. But we've got to trust him. We've got to grow in our faith and we've got to understand who the great I am is. We've got to draw closer to him. You see, when Herod heard that a king had been born, he became so disturbed. He was disturbed because in his mind, he was thinking the king that had been born was going to take over his kingship. He was so rattled by the visit from the magi, from the wise men. You see, these men, when they came to Jerusalem, God strategically sent them there. And Herod, in his insecurities, he ran to his officials. He ran to the chief priests and he ran to the scribes. And he went to them and he said, I need an answer. I need to know where the Messiah is. I need to know where he is. And you see, he had put out there that he was going to go and worship him. But that wasn't the case. You see, what he was going to do was he was going to kill him. And the priests and the scribes, they tell him the answer. Because there was actually 300 prophecies pointing to the coming Messiah. And these priests and the scribes, they knew, they had all the head knowledge of the scriptures. They knew it all. But they didn't have a heart knowledge. They didn't believe in their hearts that the one that came, the one that was come, that came into the world, he was going to restore a nation. He was going to bring man and woman back to God. He was going to bring hope to the hopeless. He was going to bring healing to the sick. He was going to comfort the widow and the orphan. He was going to come and he was going to set the captives free. You know, TV is, it can be so deceiving. And it can echo. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas can be so deceiving in the natural. Are you looking for Jesus today? And I want to encourage you, if you're coming to church, it's great. And it's a step in the right direction. But can I be really honest with you? I love Christmas. I love all the glitz and the glam and the wrapping paper and the tinsel and all that quirky stuff. I love all that. But that's not where I find my joy. You see, we've got to know the great I am. We've got to get to know him. And that's where we get our security. That's where we get our joy. That's where we get the love of God. When we come into his presence and get to know the great I am. You know, we're not going to find it with little Junior having his picture taken with the man with the white beard and the big belly and the red suit. That's not where we're going to find the joy of Christmas, the love of Christmas, the love of Christ. The wisest moment of my life was when I came to Jesus. That was the wisest move I ever made, was when I came to Jesus. I came broken. I was lost. I came with grave clothes on me, with my head hung down. I was stinking in sin. I was so shameful of my life. And when I met Jesus, he came into my heart. He opened my eyes and he showed me. Yes, he showed me stuff in my life. He showed me the sin in my life. But he also showed me how I could come and be forgiven. When I confessed, it was in that moment that the chains fell off. And we sang about it this morning. The chains fell off in that moment when I confessed. The grave clothes fell off. And I was set free. I was overflowing with peace and joy and love in my life. It was one of the greatest days in my life was when the Holy Spirit came and he opened my eyes and he came and he lived in me. It was one of the greatest moments. You see, the light that the wise men seen was a miracle. This was a miracle. God strategically put that light there so that these men would go and search for. Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need to make peace with God? Do you actually need to even make it through this holiday season? Do you need to make peace with yourself? Or do you need to make peace with others? You see, the Father wants us to simply trust him this season. And not just for today. It's for the year ahead. It's for next week. It's for next month. It's for 10 years down the road. The Father actually wants us to trust him. You see, when the wise men responded to the light, their joy was running over. They rejoiced. They realized that God was leading them to the Savior. You know, in most hotel rooms, there's actually a Bible in the drawer. And it's the Gideon Bible. And you know, there's a lot of men and women, when they picked up that Bible, they actually found Jesus. And these are men and women that are overflowing with joy. They're overflowing with love. They're overflowing with peace. They're overflowing with freedom. And that's the same joy and love and peace and freedom that we can have today. And God says, will you come? Will you come and search me? I am the great I am. Will you come and search the scriptures? Whatever's going on in your life, I have the answer. Just come. Come and read the word. Seek and you will find him. Wise men still come and adore him. And if we stop for a moment and just begin to think about what God actually did, what he did, he sent his son to go to the earth, to invade the earth, so that man and woman could come back to the Father. You see, these wise men, their search ended with finding the Messiah. They actually came face to face with him. And when they came face to face with him, they bowed down and worshipped him. They fell down on their feet when they saw him. They bowed down and worshipped him. And that was a sign of honor. That was a sign that they had found the Messiah, the chosen one. And they brought gifts. They brought gifts to him. And the gifts was a symbol of his royalty. That he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. So what does this mean to you or to me this morning? Sometimes we fall short coming to God. Sometimes we fall short coming to Jesus. We come to church, but we actually fail to come to Jesus. We may read the Bible, but we fall short of actually knowing who the author is. We fall short of knowing who the great I am is. And we may take communion. We may take the Lord's Supper, but not believe. We might have the head knowledge, but not believe in our hearts that God is going to cure me of cancer, that God is going to bring my son home that's out in the world, that God is going to restore my marriage, that God is going to restore my faith in him. We might just come and sit and just do a ritual every week. But there's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more in him if you want it. And are you up for the taking? Are you ready to go and climb for the things of God this season? Are you ready to go after the things of God this season? Are you ready to fall down and worship and bow down the King of Kings and pray for the son that's on drugs, for the son that's out there lost in the world? Are you ready? He is the great I am. He's still not the baby, the infant that's in the cradle. He's the great I am. He's very much alive and active. How much more do you want Christ in your life? How much more? You see, we've got to be a people that get up and take action. We've got to go after the things of God. We've got to go after it. We can't settle for the norm as people of God, because there's so much more. We heard Christy's story this morning. He went after the things of God. And that's not it. He's going back to Africa. Isn't that right, Christy? You see, God deserves our worship. And I can only begin to imagine when they got to the house, when they got to the stable where he was. Oh, yeah. When they got there, and the glory is all around, the glory of God. And they fell down and they worshipped him. What were they thinking? Were they silent? Or were they thinking, Lord, what can you do for me? What can you do for my life? Did they come and just fall down and just begin to ponder, what has he actually come to do in this nation? Do you ever find yourself wondering what God is going to do in your life? I know I do. You see, real worship involves giving. And you see, these wise men came and they gave. They weren't looking really for anything in return. They did give three gifts. It was simple. They presented gifts. They gave gifts with no strings attached. They presented him with gold, which acknowledged his kingship. Frankincense, which they used to worship in the temple. And it was a sweet aroma. And the myrrh that they used was a substance used that it would embalm dead bodies. And this should remind us of why God sent his son to come into this world for us. They fell down and they worshipped him. They fell down, they prostrated themselves down on the ground and they worshipped him. They worshipped him with no strings attached. When we come into the presence of God, we should worship him. He's the great I am. And when we find him, it might mean taking a different direction. You see, these wise men, when they found him, can you just imagine the joy in their hearts overflowing, the Spirit of God just beaming out through them and in them? They were overjoyed. They were full of love. They were full of zeal for the things of God. And they went after their own dreams. You see, they didn't go back to Herod. They didn't go back. God strategically placed them at that time in that stable with the Messiah. And I'm going to ask us all to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. It says in John 4:23, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Wise people go after the things of God. Wise people climb mountains. Wise people go through deserts. Wise people don't give up on the things of God. And whether you respond to him this morning, there's one thing that you will take away from this, is that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. And if you come to him, he will save you. No matter who you are or what you've done.